Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
All-time great drinking songs, right? Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill today. I'm going to talk some baseball with Paul Wagner in just a couple of seconds here. I want to get to this, though. Having a barrel of fun. And what a great idea. Get the crowd going. Raise your beer glasses up. So this from the Green Bay Press Gazette. One thing you can count on at every game at Lambeau Field, somebody will roll out the barrel and have a barrel of fun. Playing it for the third quarter break has been a tradition, and as much of a musical tradition as Todd Rundgren's Bang the Drum after a touchdown. And it's all because of beer. The song, referred to as the Beer Barrel Polka or Roll Out the Barrel, got its start as a Lambeau ritual. In 2007, Miller was already running commercial spots on the video board at the game, but the Packers wanted to find a way to make the company sponsor more interactive for fans. So the manager of game presentations and live events says, hey, what about tying it to a polka? Hey fans, it's time where we combine two great traditions, Miller Beer and the Roll Out the Barrel Polka, comes the voice over the sound system. An invited guest, sometimes a celebrity, counts the crowd down to the start of the music, and then cameras capture the fans in the stands as they sing and dance along. It's an instant polka party. It just kind of grew into a life of its own. That's one of the things from other teams comment on. Wow, that's a really Wisconsin thing, the spokesperson said. Fans love it. Everybody is singing. Everybody is dancing. We do put the words on the video board as well. Most people know the words. They do? What is it about that particular polka that allows a team to unite so many people with so many different musical tastes? I don't know why this bothers me, but here I'm three quarters through the article, and I'm saying, no, this is my brewer thing. this is not this great announcement of, wow, we came up with this idea in 2007. I remember this being played at County Stadium. I don't know why it bothers me, and I'm honest, 100% true confession here. It shouldn't bother me, and I'm digging it because we like it, and it's Lambeau Field, and it's us fans, and the whole deal. Local musician was commenting on how the song has got a good melody. He talks about the lyrics. It also says the Packers used the University of Wisconsin marching band version of that. They listened to other versions and finally got to that version. And then finally it mentions Miller Park and the Milwaukee Brewers. Why this bothers me, I don't know. It's almost like someone's taking credit. I don't know. Should it bother me? I don't know if it should, but it does. Just being honest. Like they came up with it. I'm not. I don't know. It just bothers me. I don't know why. Enough said. Let's find out on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul Wagner pitched for the Brewers at County Stadium. He remembers the two-fisted slopper, the roll out the barrel. You remember all that stuff, don't you, Paul Wagner?
Jimmy, I was a little nervous there. I thought you were giving me a circus tune as my walk-up music because a lot of people, including my manager, Jimmy Leland, thought sometimes I should be in the circus act rather than have a baseball diamond the way I pitch. So
your...
to hear roll out the barrel, I was very happy.
No, your 4.86 lifetime ERA deserves a hell of a lot better than that.
But you know what? I know. This Google stuff has got to stop and this internet stuff because it's about the third time you've mentioned that ERA in the 4.8 range. I don't like this stuff. I can't even lie anymore and tell people I was good.
Hey, just on the same note, when you were pitching for the crew, did you guys people watch in that bullpen, in that dugout? Did you people watch? Obviously, you're probably girl watching. I get all that. But just in terms of, like, dude, that fourth row right up there, he's hammered. Did you guys do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've watched many people, yes, women included, but we've watched many people as they try to carry their two beers up the bleachers and trip and fall on their face, spill peanuts and popcorn. We watch it all, and you have to entertain yourself to some extent when you're in the bullpen, especially if you're not in the game. So we have many ways to entertain ourselves out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get down to some Brewers conversation here, Paul. Winter meetings in full effect, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of mass exodus from the Brewers, 25 men. At least I read an article the other day that, and I took some notes on that, that all the players that are gone from that 25-man roster from last year, it's pretty amazing. David Stearns has his work cut out for him.
You know, absolutely. That's kind of what we talked about the other day. It's, I don't know where it's going or how they're going to fill those spots. Obviously, there's able bodies that can perform, and we will find our new loved ones in the Milwaukee Brewer uniforms. We seem to do that every year, every couple years. But you know what? It's a tough look, especially when you have back-to-back playoff appearances, and now you tell me that 25-man roster is down to 10 or 12 individuals that have been part of the organization for a while. It is a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow.
The catcher situation was taken care of with the trade, and that's Omar Narvaez who comes in. Pretty decent numbers, Paul, at least of the first, third, and catcher, the catcher's taken care of.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, I like him out of Seattle. Good. I don't know. I think he DH'd out in Seattle about 22 to 28 times. I don't know if he can flip to first base because obviously his bat is what we like. But me as a pitcher and wanting catchers to do their research, their study work, and how to handle and frame pitches, that would be on the very, very low end. And with the Milwaukee Brewers being so analytical and looking at every single war and any abbreviation that you can come up with, it seems kind of, I don't know. Are we looking strictly for an offensive bat to outslug people 10 to 9? Or are we looking for somebody who can give us a 5.7 like Yasmani Grandal did to help our pitching staff and compete on the mound? I think it's more offensive generated with the short right field porch we have, and obviously he's going to do wonders with the bat. And he's he wants to learn, and that's the good thing. When you got a young catcher like that, he wants to learn and he wants to get better. He knows his deficiencies, and that is what it is. So he wants to work with the pitching staff and get better. So I give it a thumbs up.
The pitchers that did leave, Paul, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, Jordan Lyles, Gio Gonzalez, Drew Pomerantz. Are there any of those in that list that you thought was a mistake to allow to leave? I know that the trades with Davies and Chase Anderson, but I mean, it was their choice to move them. Anybody you want back out of those five?
Again, without being numbers and years and salary wise, I wanted Drew Pomerantz back. I love the acquisition when it happened. I love seeing him in San Francisco when San Francisco actually turned him into reliever and he put about 7 to 8 scoreless outings out of the bullpen, and that's when we made the trade for him. So our scouting department did wonders. I know the numbers were pretty high for a left-handed reliever like that, but I really wish they would have got him back. And the way Jordan Lyles pitched, I mean, 2 years, I believe he got 2 years, $16 million from Texas. That might be a little high for us, and I do understand that, but, man, that would have been a nice signing if we could have been, you know, a little bit closer, even competitive with a year and a value number. Those are the two pitchers that I want. I wanted a starting pitcher, and I love Drew out of the bullpen, especially down the run last year.
Yeah, I agree with you on both of them. I mean, I look at the Jordan Lyles, 2 years, 16, as sort of a Yoli Chacin-type contract, and I think the Brewers financially could have afforded that because he is a back-and-forth guy. He can pitch out of the pen as well. That to me is probably something I would have offered him up, but another 2 year deal. And then the other one you mentioned, Drew Pomeranz, that bullpen to work around Josh Hader. I think Drew, that was a great combination. You stick a right hander right in the middle of those two lefties. Man, that would have been dynamite to have those two guys back. But Pomeranz got a big deal, I think, with San Diego.
Yeah, I like the deal. I like it. I like the way his value is. I really wish we could have kept him and thrown him with Zach. Obviously, San Diego, and I believe it's A.J. Preller, they're trying to make a run for it. So I understand with the Manny Machado signing and Hosmer signed for a while, San Diego's got to make a dent. But, man, those guys have been nice in Brewer uniforms, don't you think?
Absolutely, they would have been, without question. So David Stearns now in the winter meetings, he had said that we've got plenty of time here. He's not concerned necessarily about the timeline now because it is all about, he said, spring training, and then he corrected himself and said, well, it's really about opening day. You see the Brewers making a splash here. I don't know if it's Castellanos. I don't know if it's Didi Gregorius. Do you see him getting a named player like that, a Moustakas, a Grandal-type name?
I like the Didi acquisition. I think that would have been nice, but I think his value has jumped with the Moustakas signed. Didi coming out of New York with the injury and stuff, we were looking probably at about $10 or $11 million a year. And now they're upwards in the $15 million range. If we take Didi for 1 year at $15 million, that's a hell of a lot of money, Timmy. So I guess, you know what, we see where the chips fall, we see how this thing rolls out, and we're gonna be on the mid level free agents. I think with Joe Girardi going to Philly and obviously the interest in Philly with Didi, I think that kind of loses it. I think he wants to be somewhere unless he agrees with the thing. And again, all Major League Baseball players, yes, money is important, but we all want security. So if Milwaukee's only willing to give him a one-year deal, that's going to be a tough sell because guys are always looking for two and an option or three.
Reading some of the dialogue, though, Gregorius, it might be better for him to try a Mike Moustakas-type one-year deal to kind of beef up the value to get a bigger deal next year at this time. So I could see that. By the way, Drew Pomeranz was a four-year, $34 million deal. I mean, that's a big investment. It really is. So the Brewers are going to have to be cost-effective in this. David Stearns has mentioned that you got to make the right decisions. And really, with Corey Knebel coming back, Josh Hader rumors out there, you know, this to me is where people get confused. Paulie, and you know the sports media, someone throws out their, number one, their opinion, and a lot of times it's reported as, you know, a report and factual.
Right.
But other times in a situation like this, I'll listen to anything. You know, and that's where David Stearns is at. He's rarely commented on potential trades. But if someone brings up Josh Hader's name, that doesn't mean that the Brewers are shopping Josh Hader. If there were a situation, everybody has their price, would you entertain the idea of moving him?
Oh, man. Well, when Drew leaves for 4 for $34, you're thinking that, okay, we lost that left-handed so-called fireballer put out. Now we can keep Josh with Bobby Wall coming back from his injury. Remember, we got Bobby from the New York Mets. Corey coming back from Tommy John. I think he's been throwing. I heard someone was talking. He's in Milwaukee. I know he was throwing over down at UWM, so I know he's playing long toss off flat ground. I think he's ready to go. Man, it would have been really nice. So when people bring up Josh Hader leaving or entertaining that, I understand you have to keep all avenues open, but it would be really nice to go back to the 2 years. If Wall rolls into the JJ role, Corey continues to, and Knable becomes the closer he was, and Josh moves back to his seventh, eighth inning role, I think now we've come to that situation where we can have our starting pitchers maybe on the lower end of the pay scale and just giving us four and a third, five innings because we have that dominant bullpen at the end. So I don't want to see Josh Hader go. I know he's under team control for three more years. I know he's a super two. I know his salary just jumped from about a $600,000 projection to probably about 4.8. I mean, I understand all those things, but gosh, we've had the best reliever in baseball the last 2 years in the National League, and I don't want to get rid of him.
No, I agree with you. I think you need to back that truck up and just realize how many games he impacts. And you're right, with Bobby Wall coming back, you've got Corey Knebel back. I'm okay with that bullpen. Additionally, finally, Freddie Peralta has been known to throw with some success in that bullpen as well. So with the new rules out in that pen, we don't know, all of us baseball people and fans, and we don't know how this is going to work out. But how does this affect the Brewers when a reliever has to face a minimum of three batters unless the inning ends?
Now, I saw that. I know that the rosters have definitely expanded to 26 with 13 pitchers. You have to designate your pitchers. I know that. But I didn't know if that rule, so that rule, if that's being still hammered out or discussed in winter meetings, the thing that really confuses me on that is we brought Claudio back, yes? We bought him back for a reasonable price. But if anybody fits the mold, if anybody in Major League Baseball is going to be affected the most by this new rule change, it would be the man in Milwaukee throwing from the left side who led Major League Baseball last year in 83 appearances. So I don't understand that. If that's what the rule is, I get it. Or is the rule have like an addendum or an amendment where if I'm Brandon Woodruff and I go 7 2/3 innings, do I really have to face three batters or do I have to finish an inning? Because if I go 7 2/3 and then you bring in a left-hander, can I get the last out in the eighth?
Yes.
And then can I be okay?
Yes, so and then you can go with a new pitcher the following inning. As long as that inning ends. And I think where it gets confusing and convoluted is when a pitcher starts out an inning and then doesn't face three batters. But, Paulie, good stuff. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Timmy, I know you got lots to do. If I don't talk to you, have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. There's Paul Wagner. We talk baseball all the time. He's a good friend of the show's here, a good friend of mine. And he joined us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.